Well, hi again. This is Bob Brundage, and today is March 11th, 2011, just a couple of days after my 89th birthday. And today we're having the pleasure of talking with Don Sargent and his wife, Hope, and they're residing out in Cape Cod, little town of Mashpee, Massachusetts. So, Don has been affiliated with Square Acres, and we're interested to find out more about that unique Square Dance facility. But before we do, I want to find out more about Don. And so whereabouts were you brought up, in Don?
I stayed pretty close to home. I was brought up in the area up and around Boston, and married a local girl, and we just seem to settle right here locally.
Okay.
It seems to be the logical place.
Uh-huh. Well, you weren't living in Mashpee when you were working at Square Acres, were you?
Oh, no. I was living in Milton.
Yes, right.
Yeah, it's a border town of Boston.
Yeah.
And, you know, easy commute distance, comfortable town, small town,
yes,
feeling.
Was you brought up in a musical family by any chance?
Yes, I was. My dad was involved with music on, well, a part-time basis, but still he was locally involved with some local fellas, did local work part-time in music and just loved it. My mother, she was not as lucky. She was not talented, but she got along with the music just fine.
Yeah. So were you musical yourself?
Yeah, a little bit. I played trumpet in the high school band, and oh, I diddled around with music a little bit. Never made much money in it.
Yeah,
but,
right.
We had a good time, and that's what it's all about.
Sure. Yeah, I remember working for $3 a night.
Yeah.
So, so how'd you get into square dancing?
Well, I'll make it short. I was buying gasoline for my car at a particular gas station and noted some cute decals on the back of the car. So I asked the fellow, I said, "What are the decals?" And he says, "They identify you as a square dancer." I said, "Square dancing?" I said, "What is that?" And he gave me a local description of it, and he said, "You should try it. It's one of the best things you can do."
Yeah.
So we every time I go in, "Have you gone down yet?" He gave me directions, kind of, to where it was, and I said, no. One Sunday, I came home, and we had been newly married and not much money, and I said to my wife, "Come on, we're going to go find this place, Square Acres."
Uh-huh.
And, of course, she was all for it, so we went off, and, of course, for us, Square Acres, East Bridgewater was, might have been a million miles away.
Uh-huh.
And as I found out, it wasn't that far.
Yeah.
Once you got on the road and asked people, like, because they all know where East Bridgewater was.
Yeah.
So I went down, and the fellow told me, he said, "Now, don't worry. They're always open."
Yeah, that's what
there's
I hear.
No locks on the doors. You just go into the building, and if there's no light, just stand where you are and just holler. And that's exactly what we did. We went in, and the lights are out, and because a big barn like that, it was pretty scary. So we hollered, "Hello," and a woman answered back. She said, "I know where you are." She said, "Stay right there." And shortly they found us, and we had a nice chat. That was with Dot Trosler.
Uh-huh.
And she said, "Would you like to see the place?" I said, "Oh, yeah." Well, I was quite impressed. 7 square dance halls under one roof. That's something.
Yes.
So she took us all around and showed us the different things.
Yeah.
And she said, "You're in luck." I said, "Why?" There's a class starting next week.
Uh-huh.
She said, "Why don't you give it a try?" Well, I don't know why not. So I said to her, "Yeah, all right." I said, we'll come down." And that's how we got into it.
Okay. Do you remember who your teacher was?
Oh, we got in Square Acres. There was 7 callers on the staff.
Uh-huh.
So you started with one, and after a few weeks, you went to another one, and then another one, and then another one. You never stayed with a caller more than 4 times.
Uh-huh.
And they gave you a new one. And of course, being inquisitive, I asked one day, and they said, "Well, let's get you used to hearing different voices."
Yes, that's true.
"And the difference in the phrasing."
Yeah.
I said, "Oh, that makes sense." To me, it made sense.
Sure.
So we went through the classes, and we graduated on a Saturday night. Of course, they made a big to-do about the graduation of the class.
Sure.
Marches around the place and into the ladies' room and all over the place.
Uh-huh.
And in the interim, I had seen round dancing.
Yes.
And I said to my home, I said, "I'd like to try that."
Yes.
So I went and found Dr. Troschler, and she said, "You're in luck." Oh. She said, "Yeah, there's a round dance class starting on Saturday, the night you graduate."
I'll be darned.
Yeah, it's always a class starting. So we went in, and she said, "Come on down and try it." So I got my square dance diploma, and then the next breath, we're in the hall learning round dancing.
There you go.
Yeah, and that was with the Freddie and Georgie Bunker.
Oh, yes. Right, I remember.
Yeah, you must remember that name.
Sure.
And they got us into it. And Freddie was pretty well along in age and couldn't carry equipment and all that. It was a heavy job. So he decided, you know, he'll retire.
Uh-huh.
So the next time we went in, we had a new teacher, George and Millie Ireland.
Uh-huh.
Locally known, well done, all professional, all the way.
Yes.
And he's one of these fellows that was locally endowed with a total recall memory.
Huh.
Oh, we used to do that purposely. Once in a while, he used to say, "Oh," he said, "let's break the routine." He said, "Let's just do some dancing."
Huh.
He said, "You call out a title. If I have the record, we'll do the dance to it."
Right.
So, you know, of course, the old timers had been in and out of there. They knew. They started calling record titles I never heard. And he'd say, "Wait a minute." And he'd look at the record. He'd say, "Let me listen to it a minute." And he'd say, "Okay, let's dance." And he'd cue the dance perfect.
I'll be darned.
Yeah, total recall. Quite a guy, and he was having health issues, and it was getting along. Of course, you know, time is passing for us. I'm getting more and more involved in it, and he finally decided he would retire.
Uh-huh.
And I was saying to myself, "Oh boy, now this is, you know, years have gone by, which has a way of slipping by."
Yeah.
When you're not paying attention. And I said, "Gee, I hope Howard finds a good cure for us." Yeah, he found a good cure. Me.
There you go.
Yeah, because he saw us, my wife and I, you know, we were always practicing and trying and learning different things. And he said...
So Howard talked to you and to start teaching, is that it?
Yeah, he got me into teaching, got me into queuing, got me involved in it totally. Somewhere along the line, he said to me, "You are running the Round Dance program for Square Acres."
There you go.
He said, "I don't want to know anything about it." He said, "I'll help you any way I can, but you're in charge."
Okay.
He says, "You got anything you want need to do or change?" He says, "You talk to me." He said, "You're running it."
Yeah. Do you remember about what year that was?
Oh. Gee, I don't remember.
Take a guess.
Oh, geez. Let's see. I think I may. No, I thought I had the time down here.
Well, maybe you'll think of it later.
Okay, we started square dancing in 66, so it had to be right after that, let's say 68.
Uh-huh.
Yeah, 68,
69. Yeah, well, that was quick.
Well, they needed somebody, and I was there, and I wasn't given much of a choice.
That's right.
I said, "Howard, I can't do it." "Yes, you can."
Yeah.
"You're going to do it. You're on the stage next Saturday."
Yeah.
I said, "Howard, I'm not ready." He said, "You're ready. You're going to be on." I only knew three dances to cue, really.
Uh-huh.
But he said, "I want you up on the stage, and I want you to do this." He said, "Do it for me." I said, "They throw me out, you'll know why."
Yes.
And that's how I got started. It turned out pretty good. The people were understanding. They gave me every break they could. And from there, it just took off.
Yes.
It's fun.
So was there a separate hall there for the round dancing?
No, the round dancing, actually, as far as the programming was concerned, it was integrated with the square, two and two program. Two squares, two rounds.
I see.
The other thing we did is I asked Howard if I could run some rounds. If I got there early, before the dancing started,
Yeah. Could
I run a few rounds off to keep the people interested and let people see with what's going on?
Yes.
He said, "You think it'll work?" He says, "It's your time." Well, that little half hour, 45 minutes turned into one of the biggest things they ever just had.
Yeah.
It was just they thought it worked good, and it let the people see what could be done. It generated a lot of interest in round dancing.
Yes.
So that's what I used to do, and then, of course, classes. I had two classes a week at Square Acres, inside Square Acres, during the week.
Uh-huh.
I would you know, make sure I was going to come, and what hall do you want? And I told him, and he'd make sure the heat was on in the winter, and the driveway was plowed, and the walks were shoveled, and I always come into a nice warm hall.
Yes. Well, that's interesting.
It was a lot of fun.
Sure.
Once I got into it, I never had as much fun as I did while I was there.
Right, right.
You know, Howard was a wonderful man. You probably don't. I always called him Howard.
Yes.
He'd like people to call him Hoagie.
Hoagie, right.
And I just never got into the nickname business.
Huh?
So I called him Howard.
Yes.
And that's why when I say Howard, I'm talking about Howard Hoag, Mr. Square Dance, as he called himself.
Right.
And he was. He was, no question about it. When classes were going on a Saturday night, he made sure he visited every hall, saw everybody as he could. When he could, he was there all night long, making sure things were all right, people were good, having a good time.
Yeah.
And that meant a lot to a lot of people.
Right. Did he live there?
Yeah, he had a house on the property next to Square Acres itself.
Yes.
It was a house he built himself. It was a nice home. It was a colonial home.
Yeah.
Really nice.
Well.
We went there for dinner a couple of times.
Did you have any kind of a mentor?
I think I took everybody as a mentor. Buddy Bunker was my first, and I learned a lot from him, but I think I learned more from George and Millie Ireland. They had style. Then, of course, on the side, I developed an acquaintance with Paul Marola of the Canoe Club.
Oh, yes.
He helped me with a lot of styling and presentation.
Right.
He
was a great caller, Howard.
He was. He was good, and he just decided he liked the formal atmosphere better with the bridesmaid parties and weddings and all that.
Yes.
Yeah, so, but I learned a lot from him.
Yeah.
A real lot.
Where was the Canoe Club located?
West Bridgewater.
Oh, in West Bridgewater. Is that close? I see.
Yeah, it was, when you knew the way, it was close. When you didn't know the way, it took you forever to find it.
Uh-huh.
Because you'd come up on it, and you could see the Canoe Club in front of you, but there's no way to get in there, or appeared to be no way to get in there, until you found the one road that went into his parking lot.
Is that so?
Yeah.
Well,
but it was a beautiful place.
Yeah. Did you ever get into any of the other square dance facilities around New England?
Oh, I was in Kramer's. I did work at Kramer's. I did work at Canoe Club. I did work at some of the little local halls.
Uh-huh.
You know, they run a couple of dances, or they want a guest to come in.
Yes.
Which meant, a lot of traveling.
Yeah.
My wife and I were out 6 out of the 7 nights a week.
Yeah.
And
he
was with me every step of the way.
Yeah. You probably didn't get up to a place like Bay Path Barn or...
Oh, yeah, I was up there on a couple of weekends.
Oh, did you? Okay.
Yeah, we did a few weekends, but it was difficult because I had to work Saturday night. And then run up there and do some stuff, and then run back home because I had a class on Monday.
Yes.
A roundhouse class on Monday nights. So I kind of got caught in there.
Yeah.
Real stuff. So we didn't do too much traveling. But we did a little bit. I got into some of them and had a ball. Had a ball everywhere I went.
Yeah. Well, Chet and Barbara were putting on the Chet and Barbara Smith that owned Bay Path Barn. Were they the ones put on the weekend?
I don't know. I don't remember.
Yeah.
I remember the weekends.
Yeah.
But I don't no, I don't think I saw them. I think it was somebody, you know, connected with them was running the weekend.
I see.
Yeah. So I don't think I got to meet them.
Yeah.
So, you know, it was one of those unfortunate thing, you can't be everywhere.
Yes. Yeah. Well, I know Barbara was a great round dance teacher herself.
Yeah. I remember seeing her name in the Caller magazine.
Yes.
Yeah.
Well, that's interesting. So, let's see. Let's talk a little bit about the physical facility itself. It was, as I remember, it was in a grove of pine trees.
Yeah.
Was it?
Yeah.
Huh?
He had 18 acres on the
shore
of that Robin's Pond. And most of it was covered with pines.
Yes.
And he had created... He built the building. You saw the pictures. He built the building physically from...
Oh, did you really? Ground. I thought it was probably a facility that was there, like a Boy Scout camp or something.
No, he built it from the ground. Everything he did was Howard did it. Howard built the place. Howard built laid the floor, and he did everything.
Is that right?
Yeah. Howard was a construction guy in the Second World War.
Yes, I see.
Yeah, see, so he knew how to build. And he knew how to build fast.
Uh-huh.
That's where he got it, you know. If he decided Square Record needed a new hall, zing, we had a new hall next week.
He just put on an addition.
Yeah, just keep putting on additions.
Yeah.
We had 7 halls. all attached on.
Yes.
But it was a wonderful, wonderful place to go.
Yes.
Really exciting.
I remember there was a lake there.
Yep. Yeah. That's Robin's Pond.
And, I always thought it was probably a scout camp or something before.
No. That's... His wife,
Marion,
inherited the 18 acres.
I see. Okay.
Yeah. And together, they built square acres, and you know, I'm sure that it wasn't all honey and cream.
I'm sure.
You know, everybody has problems.
Yes.
But they were both there every Saturday night. And they both were there even after closing.
Yes.
It wasn't a close the door and walk away.
Right.
As he was there, people don't know that he had a full-time day job. He worked all day.
Is that so?
I didn't... Home and, pardon me? Then he would work all night to get the place going.
Yes.
And keep it going.
Yes.
It was quite a facility when you walked in. It was kind of scary.
Yes.
It was so big, you know. That,
right.
We had that big main hall. You remember the main hall?
Oh, of course. It was named after, it was in honor of Lawrence Loy.
Yeah, yeah.
And his picture was up over the stage.
Yeah, yeah.
Well, I worked with Lawrence Loy for a couple of years. After I graduated from University of Maine, I went to work at the University of Massachusetts.
Oh, really?
Where Lawrence Loy was, and he was on staff there. He was in charge of the recreation for the Extension Service for the state of Massachusetts.
Yeah.
I don't know if people would remember, but it was Lawrence Loy that brought modern Western square dancing to New England.
Yeah. Yeah, only reason I know is because through Howard, he had a lot of respect for Lawrence.
Yes.
And always reminded us that...
Well, Lawrence Loy was the one responsible for getting... I've forgotten the fellow's name from Rio Doso, New Mexico, to come to New England and put on a workshop on a weekend.
Oh, yes.
And
he got me on the name too.
Yes, that was Herb Gregerson.
Yeah.
And people like Charlie Baldwin was there. My brother and I were there.
Yeah.
And I think any of the people that wound up to be any kind of a name in New England was probably at that workshop weekend.
Yeah. Yeah. Because at that time, workshops were probably the most fun you could have for the buck.
Yes, right.
You know, money was hard to come by. I know when we started round dancing, I had to think twice about spending the money, because if I didn't have it, I couldn't go.
Uh-huh.
That made it tough. But we love it.
Yes, right.
We love particularly Square Acres. I have a soft spot in my heart for them. And
yes.
I hate to see it pass into history.
Right. When did it close? Do you remember?
Oh, let's see. We were there 67 and on 10, 77, around 80, I think. Don't bet the house on it, but it was in the 80s.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah, that was quite a long run, actually.
And 25-year run.
Yes, right.
And I was there for 13 years, about half the run, the last half of the run, when square dancing was huge.
Yes.
If we didn't have 20 squares in the main hall, we didn't know what was wrong.
Yes, right.
You know, and we'd stand up on the stage, and Howard would say to somebody, run over to the canoe club. Don't go in. Just drive through the parking lot and see if you can see who's there and how many cars he's got. Oh, yeah, they used to do that a lot.
Is that right?
Yeah, well, of course, it was convenient. he wouldn't say to the guy, run up to the Kramer's, because that was quite a ride.
Yes.
So he would, you know, get somebody to drive over, and he'd be back in a half an hour and tell us, oh, who's there, and, oh, his parking lot was full, and things were going full blast. Yeah. Oh, it was a lot of fun.
Yeah.
I wouldn't trade my time there for anything.
I'll bet.
I learned a lot, met some wonderful, wonderful people, and had good times every time.
Yes.
You know?
Well, of course, getting back to the facility,
yeah.
They had their own kitchen.
Yep.
And I guess they, I don't remember exactly how involved they were in serving what are mostly just snacks.
Yeah, well, yeah, during the square dance time, they served just, you know, snacks and burgers and things like that.
Yeah.
But at the time of, in the spring when new classes started, they used to put a chicken barbecue on.
Uh-huh.
That was just amazing. He had a fire pit built out back that was probably, 25-30 feet long, 4 feet wide, and about 18 inches deep. And he would light that up with charcoal. And he would put on, he would cover that with chicken.
Yeah.
He'd buy the chickens by the crate and set up a cutting station and make sure they were clean and sanitary and split them in half and put them on the grill.
Yeah.
Oh, he did that every year for years. And was it good? But that's really that and New Year's. It was really the only time he got into food, you know, real food.
Uh-huh.
New Year's, we had a party, and he would serve at midnight, if you bought the ticket, roast beef or turkey, all the fixings, all the trimmings, all the pie, and desserts, and it was, you couldn't buy it outside, it's cheap. But that was his way of saying thank you to the people.
Yeah. Well, and as I remember, there was also a square dance shop there.
Yep, the Promenade Shop. Merle and Bob Trosha. Merle Silver and Bob Trosha ran it.
Yes.
And they had a good long run. Towards the end, there was a lot of competition on the outside.
Yeah.
So they ran it to the end, though. It was there when they closed the doors.
Yes.
And it was a nice little shop. They served. They sold clothes, some jewelry. They sold all the records for the callers.
I see.
And they had a little bit of everything in there.
Yeah.
It was nice. You know, it was in keeping with the business.
Yeah.
So, you know, I bought a lot of my stuff there. And they sold amplifiers if you wanted to buy an amplifier.
Uh-huh.
Or a microphone. You could buy it.
I'll be darned.
Yeah, they had everything there.
Yeah. So, well, was there a, what was a typical schedule for a week there?
Oh, boy.
suppose now you're a new dancer like you were, and I know you said you spent, what, 4 weeks in each hall or something like
yeah.
that?
Yeah, that was Saturday nights. You went there and you got your class, and got a chance to visit with everybody in the shop. They made sure you got into the shop. And, of course, the food was, you know, always tastes good. So he had the snack bar there and all the coffee you wanted.
Uh-huh.
He had the coffee. And it was just the place to go.
Yeah.
And then you would stay 4 weeks with one caller, and then he would announce from the stage, next week, you stay here in this hall, but you're going to have a new caller.
Okay.
And they would put in a new caller, you know, one of the staff. And it was interesting. Actually, it was quite challenging, you know, because everybody has their own style.
Sure.
Just like today when you go out dancing or whatever, you have your own style.
Yes.
But then you stay there, and again, it took place. Oh, I'm trying to say 13 weeks.
Yes.
But then you stay in there, and again, it took place. Oh, I'm trying to say 13 weeks, but I'm not really sure.
Yeah.
The time just went by. You didn't even pay attention.
Yeah.
But the rule was, if you were in a class and you always got a break in the middle of the class, you could go out in the hall, in the main hall, Loy Hall, but you couldn't get into a square with the rest of the people.
Yes.
Because he would, you know, ball them up and they would get upset and all that. So please, if you want to have a square, get your own.
Yes.
Together.
Uh-huh.
And that's what a lot of us used to do.
Sure.
And that went on, as I say, I'm not sure of the time, but as the time passed, you know, you were told, well, next, you only got 3 weeks left and 2 weeks left. And Howard had a little flair for the dramatic.
Yes.
And he said, now, next week is graduation week. He said, we're going to make a big thing out of it and make sure you're here. And everybody would be there, all their faces shining. And he would make a big deal out of his graduation.
Yes.
He was quite a man. He was Mr. Square Dance.
Yeah, he did.
Yeah, he worked very hard. He worked endless hours in the place. I can't believe that one man could do it. You know, he used to tell me, but I used to say, yeah, sure, yeah, yeah. Mm-hmm. But he did.
Yes. He did. I think he came from out in the Midwest somewhere, like Kansas. Kansas, that's what I thought, yes.
Yeah, he came out this way. I don't know what brought him out here, but he came out, and we're glad he did. We're lucky he did.
Yes.
You know, he brought a lot of interest and a lot of enthusiasm to us.
Right. Do you happen to remember any of the other callers that were teaching there? You said there were seven.
Oh, yeah, there was a bunch. Did Jack Bright, Toots Tresignant, Lou Mincone, Don Barrows. Oh, there's more. Oh, gosh. It's hard, you know. If you get old, you forget all these things. But there's more than that. I'll think of them as we're talking.
Yeah.
And I'll let you know. But those are the ones that come to mind, because those are the ones that were always there when I was there.
I see. Okay.
So I'd go there during the week, and they'd be there with a class or a club.
Right.
They usually formed a club. And they'd be there during the week with a class or a club meeting, square dancing.
Right.
And we had a lot of clubs down there. We had clubs going pretty near every night of the week.
Yes.
And then we had, of course, I would come in with my two round dance clubs. I would come in on a Tuesday and a Thursday. And it was quite a busy place after hours.
So you danced in the big hall then?
For the most part, when the weather was good, I could dance in the big hall.
Yes.
But I couldn't ask Howard, in all fairness, to heat it. For some weeks, I didn't get a lot of people to pay the rent.
Uh-huh.
So he would heat what they called number two hall, Jubilee Hall.
Yes.
And that was a little easier to heat, low ceiling, a little better all around. It had a fireplace in it, too.
Oh, yes.
And they loved the fireplace.
I'd forgotten that.
Yeah. And he told me one night, he said, now look, he said, when we get you set up, if the fireplace is going, fine, put wood in it, do what you want. But he said, if there's no fire in there, don't try to light one.
Uh-huh.
I did. I tried to light one. I had the place full of smoke. And he came over, and he said, what did I tell you? I said, oh, I know, Howard, but he said, we get a downwind from the trees. He said, now you got the place full of smoke. He said, now you got to get it out of here. He did. He left me. He left me there. I got it out. I went and got a couple of the big paddle fans that we had.
Uh-huh.
And I turned them on full blast and opened the door, and I blew it out eventually. But the people didn't mind. They were dancing on a good floor.
Yes.
And that's what we were looking for.
Yes, right.
We liked to dance in the main hall floor. That was one of the most beautiful floors to dance on.
Right.
There was no finish on it. It was just the raw wood.
I remember that, yes.
Yeah, polished by years and years of dancing.
Yes.
They were speculating that how much longer it was going to last. If they had stayed open, what they were going to do.
Uh-huh.
They figured they'd wear right out, the floor right through. That's a lot to be said, to wear a board through 3/4 of an inch. That's a lot of wear.
Yes, right.
But it was fun. It was fun.
Right.
Yeah.
Didn't they used to, Howard, didn't he used to advertise you could start square dancing almost any night of the week?
Yeah. Yeah, he used to say that, and it'd be surprised. People came in and were looking and wanted to know what was going on.
Yeah.
And that's how we got the people, you know. I think that's part of his plan. He'd sucker them in, so to speak, and get them interested. And then next thing you know, they'd be there dancing.
Yeah.
And have a ball, too. It was a lot of fun.
Yeah.
It was a lot of fun.
Now, how about any of the callers that you remember that came in? I'm thinking about national callers.
Oh, sure. You know John Hendren.
Sure.
Ken Anderson. Red Bates. Dick Jones. He was everybody's favorite, Dick Jones.
Yes.
He was quite a caller. Lee Copeman. You name it. We had him coming in.
But
we had him on projection.
Bob Brundage?
Yeah, Who's Al Brundage? Who's he?
Yeah, no, I know Al was there, and I was there several times.
Yeah, it was really nice. I was sorry when they announced that they were going to close. I really, you know, I felt terrible.
Yeah.
That's why I don't have more pictures. Because I figured it was always going to be there.
Uh-huh.
And I'll get them, you know, later. And then they shut the doors, and you couldn't get any pictures.
Yeah.
But so it's a few I got I treasure.
Sure.
And those that I sent you, I happened to get directly from Howard's hands into mine. He said, I want you to take care of these.
Yes.
So I've been holding on to them, and I just said, with all the miracles we can do today, I'm going to get them put into a digital format.
Good.
Which makes it easy to handle. Now I can send them to anybody.
Right.
You know?
So, I had something I wanted to ask you, and it slipped my mind.
Oh, it'll come back. Don't worry about that.
Right.
But we had, you know...
I know, I was going to ask you, was Howard's health failing or something like that?
No. He was good and healthy. He went, it was just, you know, the economy forced him to close. You couldn't get callers to come because it did take some gas, and because nobody had the economy cars. Well, Franny Hines was one of the ones that used to come out to see us.
Yes.
But he was the only one that got into a economy car, so he could travel. But some of the callers, he had to guarantee him a tank full of gas before they'd come out. That's going some.
Right.
Yeah. But that's... his health was quite good, as a matter of fact. He was... healthy and running around like he always did.
Yes.
He just decided that he couldn't do it any longer, and I don't know. It's hard to say, really.
Right.
You know what?
I
was never privy to the personal.
You know when he passed away?
Oh, gee, I don't. I know he passed away, but I don't know the date. No, I don't know the date. I wish I did, but.
But, I mean, just kind of dropped out of the picture, really.
Well, not He moved to California, moved to the West Coast.
Oh, I didn't know that. Oh.
Yeah. I don't know why, but he did.
Yeah. Well.
And came out here, I think 2 years, 3 years, and had a get-together with all the staff.
Oops.
Kind of a what's going on, coffee and pastry, you know, and
yes.
Things like that. And we'd spend all day talking about, well, you remember this, you remember that, and why did you do this, why did you do that?
Right.
And he'd say, well, I'll see you next year. But it was costly to come across country.
Sure.
Yeah, but he did it 2 years. And in fact, somewhere I've got the list of the callers that came. And he said, if you ever want to start a reunion, he said, here's the list. He said, they may not be there now, but certainly it's a good place to start.
Right.
So I get along well with Howard. I really did.
Yes.
I have any problems with him. As I say, he left me run the round ends program. And didn't quite much ask what I was doing. If I asked for anything and it was reasonable, I could get it.
Yes.
And he was a good man.
Yes.
Good man. I can't say any more for him.
Okay. Well, Don, we're almost down to the end of the side of this tape. Let me turn it over and we'll start again. Just hold on a minute, please.
Okay.
Okay, so now we've got plenty of time left. I wanted to talk about also your experience with the other round dance groups and round dance people around New England. I know we had some, New England-wide organizations like NACORDA, which is the New England Council of Round Dance Teachers Association.
Yeah,
right?
I belong to that.
Yes, I figured you probably did.
Yeah. Well, there's not much to say about the teachers' organizations.
Yes.
They didn't really bother us unless there was a discipline problem.
I see.
You know, they of course, they policed, and they were known, and they advertised that, you know, if anybody has a problem, the way to call them and contact them. But there was nothing that ever would happen that would cause a problem that bad.
Yes.
You know, it was good. We had nothing but fun and good times. And that's all. And, of course, I not only belong to NACORDA, I belong to most of the Square Dance Association because I deal with the people.
Yes.
Old Colony Association and those, I belong to them, too.
Uh-huh.
So it was convenient. I could hear my grievances against anybody, which I never did, but
yeah,
it was fun. It was fun. I would do it all again if I could.
There was not any conflict between round dance people, if I remember.
We all got along well together.
Yes.
Didn't matter who we were, you know, I got more classes than you. Never happened.
Yes.
Never happened. We had a good relationship. We used to help one another out. If I had an extra record that I thought so-and-so would like, I'd send it off to him or take it over to his class and drop it off for him. The same for me.
Sure.
They all knew what we were looking for, so if we found it, it was understood, buy it, we'll reimburse.
Yes.
And we know we got a good relationship with the other people.
Right.
It was a lot of fun. And you get to see what they're teaching and how they teach.
Yes. What about the other organization, ACCORD? That was the Area Coordinating Council of Round Dancing.
I knew of it. I didn't belong to it, but I knew of it.
Yeah.
Because I said, you know, you keep joining associations.
Sure.
You know, they'll tap you dry for money. And, you know, money was still hard to come by. I don't think that square dancing was a Christmas tree because it wasn't.
Right.
It was still, you had to plan that expense.
Yes.
I know we did, even though, you know, by now, times are getting better for us, but still, you have to say that it's not easy to make the money. I'll tell you that.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, so, it's just a matter of pinch and pennies, right?
That's right.
Yeah.
That's right. You want to do it, you got to do it.
Right. How about Roundelab?
Oh, I belonged to Roundelab, but I never went. I couldn't do that.
It was a big expense, of course.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Big money, and they never had anything local. They had it all out in the Midwest and the West Coast.
Uh-huh.
So, you know, I joined it just, well, I guess I thought I had to.
Yes.
As it found out, I didn't need it. But I left it that way and had a ball. Just let them run the place.
Yeah. Of any of the callers that came in, did they... Back in those days, sometimes the callers were also cures.
Yep.
I know Paul Marola was. And,
yep.
And did any of them, when they came in, any of the other callers, did they want to do the round dancing?
They were fine. They were fine. Because, you know, and quite often I would ask them if they would like to, you know, cue a few rounds. Oh, no, you're doing a fine job.
Yeah.
And you know the crowd. He said, no need to. You go right ahead.
Yeah.
So I never had a problem with that.
Good.
You know, it was peace and quiet on my front.
Did Hope ever get to do any cueing?
Oh, yeah. She cued quite a bit. At the end there, she was as busy as I was.
Well, great.
And she took on... three or four clubs that she was queuing for, and special dances she would cue. She took some dates on her own, and she queued at Square Acres for me. It was good.
That's great.
Stood, oh, yeah. She was by my side the whole time.
Right.
I was involved over 26 years in total picture of round dancing, and she was there every step of the way.
Right.
Every step, she was right beside me.
Yeah.
And that makes his life easier, too.
Yeah. Do you remember any funny stories along the way?
Oh, yeah, there's a couple I'd like to tell you.
Good.
One weekend, it had rained. Oh, we had heavy rains up here, and it poured down in buckets. And that big roof on Loy Hall was a big roof. And there was a cupola in the middle of it on the roof. And rain blew in there and landed on that raw wood floor, and it buckled up like a little teepee.
Is that right?
Right down the middle of it, the whole length of the hall.
Huh.
So I got in there to run my round dancing, and I went to Howard. I said, what are we going to do, Howard? You can't do anything in this hall. He said, can you run your rounds and get the people to... not trip over the floor that's raised up. I said, sure, I can do that. He said, I want something to keep the people occupied.
Yeah.
So I went up, and I got my people, and I got them in a huddle, and I said, look, there's a teepee in the middle of the floor, 3 inches high. When you dance, make sure you don't dance on it. Skip it.
Yeah.
Okay, we can do that. So I played rounds for over an hour, and every once in a while I said, I watch the hump. Next thing I know, Howard comes out with a skill saw, and he's in the middle of my circle of rounds, rounder dances, and I said, oh, now what the devil is he going to do? I didn't know. So next thing I know, he's got the saw. He didn't say a word, just took the saw, turned it on, and did a plunge cut in the floor and walked the whole length of the floor, making a cut in the floor.
I'll be darned.
Yeah, right in the middle. I'm still dancing, you know. I'm still got the dancers going. Yeah, all right, keep going. So he put a cut in the floor, and then he went and got some little small bolts, quarter-inch bolts, and a drill. And he went down the saw cut each side, and put holes in the floor. I know that's going to be interesting now. He figures why he can't nail it, because nails won't hold. So he got a hold of a couple of the kids, and he said, now look, he said, I'm going to put bolts through this floor. I want you to go downstairs and find them and put a washer and a nut on them. Now, you know how big Boy Hall was.
Sure.
Just imagine that floor underneath, that place underneath, not dug out, not finished off.
Yes.
Dirt. And he sent the kids down there, and he said, now, I'll get one, and when I hammer on the floor, you find it and put the nut on it as tight as you can. They did. It took them an hour to do it, but they found all the holes.
I'll be darned.
And he went with a screwdriver and tightened them all up tight, and the floor came down. It was wonderful. He was quite a guy. Yeah, he'd expect to find Howard anywhere.
Yeah.
He would walk through the halls when it was raining with a roll of plastic and a staple gun. And if the roof leaked, he made a little plastic gutter,
yeah,
run it over and down the wall, and got it off the floor. He said, I'll take care of the roof afterwards.
Yeah.
And there was one other one that was, I thought was funny. One night we went down, one Saturday we went down, had our class. And all during class, I could hear hammering, banging and all. Now, this is on a Thursday night. So after my class was over and I put everything in the car, I went and I said, Howard, what are you doing? I've been hearing you all night. And I looked in. He had ripped the floor up in the coat room. He ripped everything up. The joist, everything. There was nothing but a hole there. And this is 11 o'clock on a Friday night, on Thursday night. And I said, what are you going to do? You know, we had a dance here Saturday night. Don't worry about it. It'll be all set. Don't worry. Don't worry. So when I left, he was hammering and banging. And by God, Saturday when I got there at 7 o'clock, it was all done, fixed, rug on the floor, coat racks are up, everything was back. And he must have worked all night. But, you know, it's funny things like that that I can't help but chuckle every time I think of them. It's just one of those things. And we have one more that's a real, real good one. Hope likes this one. Went down to a hall. It was kind of always an orphan all by itself. And we always go down to check the halls. So I went down, and during the week, he had ripped all the inside, all of the finish off the walls, inside and out. There's nothing there, just the studs. And I said, Howard, what are you going to do? He said, don't worry about it. I should know better. So I went in the next Saturday, and I rushed to go down. The hall was all done. We had plastic walls. He had put plastic up on both sides of the studs and to keep it, you know, tight enough and warm enough for the people.
Right.
Because that was a hall class, a hall for the classes. But that was, oh, God, can you imagine going down there and seeing no walls? Yeah, think about it.
Yes, right.
Yeah, he used to do a lot of funny things, but he only did things that were good for us.
Right.
You know, if you needed something special and it would benefit us, he did it.
Yes.
If it didn't benefit us, he may or may not do it. Depends on the mood he was in. But it was fun. It was lots and lots and lots of fun.
Right.
I wish everybody could see Square Acres.
Yes. The only thing that I remember funny in my experience about dance halls, I was hired to do a dance up in New York State someplace.
Yeah.
I wish I could remember the caller's name, but it was in the basement of a church.
Oh.
And it was a very, very humid day.
Oh.
And back in those days, it happened that this church floor was kind of sticky.
Oh.
And in these days they used to use a resin kind of a product you could sprinkle on it, but they didn't have any there. And somebody said, well, I understand that you can put soap flakes.
Oh.
And sure enough, they went out and got some soap flakes, and they sprinkled it around. We started dancing, and about a half hour later, the floor was covered with soap sud.
Oh, my God.
It was so humid down there, and there was no way to get the humidity out.
No
fans or anything. And the whole floor where everybody was dancing had soap suds on it. we had to cancel the dance.
You know, you do what you think is right, and
right. It's
not, and but it's funny. Yeah, you look back now, and you laugh and say, geez, that was funny.
I
know there's a lot of strange things that, when I look back, that we should have but didn't, and we should have but we didn't do it. Oh.
Should have, could have, would have.
Yeah, that's right.
Yeah.
That's right. But I wouldn't trade my time there for anything.
Right.
I wouldn't. I just, you know, for the money I spent, I got a lot of entertainment.
Sure.
And then when I went on the other side of the fence, I was the entertainment.
Yes.
I still loved it. I still loved every minute of it.
Right.
You know, and I would do it again in a heartbeat, I think.
Yes. Are you still dancing?
I know about it now. You know.
Still dancing now?
No. My health won't let me.
I see.
I got COPD, and I can't breathe, and I'm on oxygen 24/7. But I feel good.
Well, that's great.
And I get a laugh about remembering what happened.
Yes.
And looking back on the things, and looking back. I miss the people. That's what I miss.
Yes, well, people. I do too, as a matter of fact.
Yeah, you know, you get used to seeing them. I miss seeing the people.
Sure.
But nothing you can do about it.
Right.
You know, take what God gives you and live with it.
Right.
That's what I've done.
Yeah.
But I'm happy. You know, I've got square rings to look back at, all the friends that I met and all the friends that I know. It's wonderful.
Right.
It's wonderful. It was a good, healthy activity.
Right. Well, Don, I think we're kind of winding down here. Unless you can think of anything else you'd like to add?
Not really, except that it was a pleasure to talk to you and have somebody listen to me and put up with all my babbling. What are you going to do now with this, Bob?
Well, it goes into the foundation of Square Dance Foundation of New England.
Now, what do they do? Leave it on the tape, or do they transcribe it?
No, it's quite a lengthy process, as a matter of fact. I'll be transcribing it into print as soon as I get through here.
Oh,
and I'll be sending this down to a friend of mine in New Jersey named Gardner Patton.
Yeah.
And he edits it, and he converts it into a format that is acceptable to the foundation.
Oh.
And he sends it up to Johnny Wedge, who puts it on the foundation's website.
Yeah.
And as soon as all that is done, you can actually tune into that website.
Yeah.
And you can listen and read
this
interview in its entirety.
Oh, gee, because I was going to ask if I could get a copy of it.
Well, you can. It's going to be available along with the other 120 or so others that I've already done.
Oh, boy, you've been a busy guy.
Well, I started in 1996 this project, so it's been 15 years.
Yeah.
But, so you just click on to sdfne.org. And
everything will come up.
And then you click on documents.
Yep.
And you'll find all these interviews.
All right, fine.
Which
sounds like a plan.
Right.
Well, if you see any of the guys that might know me, say aye.
Will do.
All right.
Okay.
Al, it was a, Al, I got Al on the mind. Bob, it was a pleasure. Real pleasure. And I'm sorry it took so long.
Well, that's okay. I'm glad we finally got it done. And I hope,
all right.
I hope you continue with your little better health.
Yep, thank you very much.
Okay, so we'll right. call this a day, and we'll call this the end of the tape.
All right, fine. Thank you.
Thank you, Don, very much.
Right on. Bye now.
Bye-bye.